And why not? Rashid taunted. Are you afraid that your son will have to come back to Earth and live with the rest of us?
That is unforgivable, Joanna said.
It is out of line, Mr. Chairman, said the bald, portly man sitting at her right. Others muttered and nodded. Rashid closed his eyes briefly, then said softly,
You're right. I went too far. Joanna, I apologize. The heat of the moment.
She glared directly into his eyes. The silence around the table stretched painfully.
Tamara Bonai broke the spell. I move that we vote on the resolution presented by Mrs. Brudnoy.
Second, said the man across the table from her.
The resolution passed by one vote. Bonai's.
Joanna sighed with relief.
She's not in his camp, she realized. Maybe in his bed, but not in his camp.
Then she thought, but the resolution doesn't mean much, not compared to this issue of merging with Yamagata.
Rashid was saying, Each board member should express our support for Moonbase with his or her senators, I imagine, and I will appoint a committee to meet with the president in support of this resolution. Joanna, I suppose you should chair that committee.
He seemed to be taking his defeat graciously enough.
Why not? Joanna asked herself. He's got every member of the board dreaming of a tenfold increase in the worth of their stock.
I think we should set up another committee as well, Joanna heard herself saying, not realizing where she was going until the words formed in her mouth,
to work with our board chairman in his negotiations with Yamagata.
That's not on our agenda, Rashid snapped.
Call it new business, said Joanna.
Yes, I want to be on the Yamagata committee, said the oldest member of the board.
And so do I, Joanna added sweetly.
Day 40. Tamara Bonai canceled her plans to return to Kiribati and extended her stay in Savannah for 24 hours, at Rashid's request. As the board meeting had broken up, he had asked her to remain an extra day.
Now that the pressure is off, I'd like to take you sailing.
She saw something in his eyes that surprised her. Not anger or worry over Joanna Brudnoy's intransigence, but relief. Almost satisfaction. So she thought it over for a few moments, then smiled and agreed.
There is something going on in his mind that he didn't tell us at the board meeting, she thought.
It could be simple lust, she realized. Alone together on a boat, it would be difficult to evade his ardor. But what she saw in his eyes was more than that. Tamara saw triumph in Rashid's pleased expression.
He was happy, carefree, as he guided the power cruiser down the river, past Fort Pulaski and the clipper ship port on Tybee Island, and out onto the deep swells of the blue-gray Atlantic.
"It's going to be a beautiful day," Rashid said cheerfully as he sat in the pilot's chair, one bare leg hooked over its armrest. "And a lovely, starry night," he added.
He was barefoot, wearing nothing but blue swim trunks and a T-shirt with a Masterson Corporation logo on its breast. Bonai wore a sunshine yellow bikini with a gauzy, see-through, hip-length robe over it.
"Not a cloud in sight," Rashid enthused.
Bonai was not worried about the weather. She was disappointed that Rashid hadn't taken out a sailboat, which would have been more fun than chugging along on power. At least the boat's electric motor was quiet and clean, no diesel fumes to assault her sense of smell. The day passed uneventfully. By lunchtime they were out of sight of land. The sun set and the stars came out, as promised, different from the constellations she knew in Kiribati's skies, but just as beautiful. There was no moon in the night sky. All day long Rashid's conversation had been innocuous, as if the last thing he wanted to talk about was the board meeting and Moonbase. Over dinner, though, he spoke of his long struggle to reach the top of Masterson Corporation. It hasn't been easy for a Muslim to move forward in corporate America. Even a Muslim born and raised in Baltimore, he said with growing bitterness. But I've worked harder than any of the others. When they called me Omar, I let it pass. And they've called me worse behind my back, I know. Towel head, camel humper.
Tamara offered sympathetic noises as they made their way through the prepackaged veal and salad. Dessert was figs and dates and champagne.
Tamara knew what was coming next and almost welcomed it. Soon enough they were together in the bunk up at the boat's prow, heaving in rhythm to the ocean waves. Rashid was a well-versed lover, Bonai discovered. He made pleasure pleasurable for her as well as himself. It was afterward, as they lay sweaty and spent with the curved overhead less than an arm's length above them, that Tamara gently, slowly, got Rashid to tell her more about himself, of his rise to Masterson's board of directors, of his victory in the battle to be chairman, of his ambition to bring efficient, clean, economical fusion power to an energy-hungry Earth. "That's what I'll be known for after I'm gone," he said quietly in the darkness. "Future generations will remember that I made fusion power practical." For long moments, Bonai said nothing. She listened to the creaking groan of the boat as it rose and fell in the endless ocean waves, thinking that it was Yamagata's researchers who had doggedly worked to make fusion practical. "That's a magnificent achievement," she said at last. "Yes," he agreed, "magnificent. But if Mrs. Brudnoy prevents the merger with Yamagata, what then?" He chuckled softly and turned toward her. "There's nothing she can do to prevent it. You saw how the board members reacted when I showed them how much their stock will increase in value. Mrs. Brudnoy is a very determined woman, very powerful. Not for much longer. In a month or so, Moonbase will belong to Yamagata Industries, and her power base will be gone." "In a month or so?" Rashid ran a hand along her bare thigh. "Yes. For weeks now, Yamagata's been ferrying peacekeeper troops up to their base at Copernicus. Together with a special team of Yamagata's own security forces, they'll hit Moonbase and take it over so swiftly that neither Joanna nor her pup will know what hit them." She realized he was aroused again. "Is it me," she wondered, "or the thought of beating Joanna in their corporate power struggle?" She giggled at her own question. Rashid thought it was his doing and began stroking her more fervently. She sighed and caressed his bearded face, then whispered into his ear, "You've been building up an army on the moon, and the Moonbase people don't even know it." "Not quite an army," Rashid replied, pleased at her reaction. "Only a few hundred troops, but they'll have missiles and tracked vehicles and everything they need to surround Moonbase and force it to surrender, or demolish it." "When? How soon?" But he stopped talking and pressed his body atop hers. Tamara closed her eyes and thought of Doug Stavanger.
"General O'Connor is in conference and cannot be disturbed, sir," said the woman.
Jack Killifer stared angrily at her image on his phone screen. Typical Urban Corps flunky, he thought. Gray dress buttoned up to her goddamned chin, not a speck of makeup. Hair tied up in some kind of knot on the top of her head. She could be attractive if she'd unwind a little. "Did you tell him it's Jack Killifer calling?" he asked through gritted teeth. "From Savannah?"
"The general is not to be disturbed," she repeated like a brain-dead robot.
Killifer thought it over swiftly. "The general's probably sleeping, or maybe in another coma." He kept getting these mini-strokes that knocked him out for days at a time. "I can't tell this receptionist that Tamara Bonai's off on a friggin' boat ride and I can't get to her. Nobody's supposed to know about Bonai except me and the general." "Okay," he said to the unblinking image. "Tell General O'Connor that I called from Savannah, will you?"
"Certainly, sir."
"And I'm leaving tomorrow for a little vacation in Kiribati."
"Have a pleasant vacation, sir."
He killed the connection and the screen went dark. "I'll get her there," Killifer told himself. "Back in the islands. I'll do her there and that'll be the end of it. All I need is a boat." Tamara dared not call Doug Stavanger until she was safely back in Kiribati. Rashid brought the boat back to Savannah the next morning, and she hurried to her hotel where she showered for half an hour, then headed for the rocket port on Tybee Island. Her aides had packed her bags and accompanied her in the limousine that Masterson Corporation had provided. All through the half-hour ballistic flight, Bonai struggled against the temptation to call her office in Tarawa and have them patch her through to Moonbase. "Too dangerous," she warned herself. "Wait until you can make a tight-beam laser link to Moonbase." The clipper ship lifted off from the Savannah area at noon local time. It was 7:42 a.m. in Kiribati when she arrived at her office.
With a quick flick of her computer keyboard,